Welcome to Not Your Mother's Mahabharata, the podcast where I tell stories from the ancient Indian epic, the Mahabharata, in a very, very casual way. For each episode, I will be telling the story to my wife, Asha, and to a rotating special guest. My name is Satish Jayaraj. I'm a fantasy writer and world builder, and mythology from all over the world has always factored into my creativity. The Mahabharata is a more recent obsession of mine, and I'm excited to bring these stories to you, as well as the deeper themes and ideas that make the Mahabharata the phenomenon that it is. Another thing I and my cohorts love is foul language. So these Mahabharata retellings will probably be unlike other versions you might hear. My goal with this podcast and with using humor is to make these beautiful stories memorable, accessible, and fun. Our guest today is Renaissance woman Rhiannon Fisk-Raddatz, who you'll hear a little more about later in the show. Let's get started.
This is not your mother's Mahabharata. Beware. It's fucking epic. Hosted by S.P. Jayaraj.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really happy to have you here. Yeah. This is, like, part of this is happening, like, because, like, we've just become friends, and I talked about this podcast idea with you guys, and seemed excited. Mm-hmm. And then we watched that great Indian cultural movie, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And I feel like I love them. Like, I really enjoyed it. It was just a month of watching these movies. I've never seen them before. That one was weird. And I'm just like, oh, this is... And what was very prevalent in all these people who love this movie was, like, just the permanent amount of, like, white guilt as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's...
We know what's problematic about it.
Yeah. So
we've known about it since the beginning.
I need to tap everyone at that party because they're all going to be just indebted to say yes to me. To be part of, like, here's a taste of Indian culture.
A lot of entertainers in the group, too.
Well, there's a lot of entertainers. Yeah, it's a cool crowd, unexpectedly.
I'm sure that we've spotted way more than you did.
Like, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That there's stuff that we just don't
care about.
Yeah.
You're just sure like, that? Right. That's mm-hmm. what you're worried about? All right.
For me, the Mahabharata, it's this huge part of Indian culture. It's Indian mythology. It's this grand epic that is bigger than the Odyssey and, what is it? Not Ulysses, but probably.
Iliad.
The Odyssey and Iliad combined. That's the big, like, kind of line about it. Like, seven times bigger. It was my pandemic reading, and I've always been into mythology, and then, like, getting into this one, which I've pseudo-grown up with. I only got really into mythology when I was in college, and it was actually Nordic mythology. Mm. And then from there, I looked into others. But I never really did too much into Hindu mythology, Indian mythology as well. That happened much later, and now it's become, like, really influential in my stuff. I am a fantasy world builder. Mm-hmm. And you came for the story we told, which is the origin of my fantasy world. Mm-hmm. And that, like, I've had my fantasy world now for, like, years. And
I know this is not a visual podcast, but if we all looked to the wall across from us, there is an entire world on the wall in picture form.
It sure is.
That Satish built. It's basically an entire different earth.
So I've had this world...
Called Adajari.
It's a vivid depiction.
Yes.
Thank you.
Multiple continents.
I've had this world in my head for a long time. I've made the physics of it, the different people and the different races, and how it kind of bridges all my different interests in mythology. But this was years ago, and I never had the origin of it. It was only, like, truly after reading the Mahabharata that I figured out the origin of my world, which, of course, is going to run into everything. And so the fact that it unlocked that part of the imagination for me that makes total sense for this. I'm devout to this story. And, like, I just want to be able to tell this story, know this story. So I'm doing this podcast where I get to tell the story to friends. We're actually going to start round about where everyone else starts the story. In the sense that there's all the stuff that happens. that connects the moon to this bloodline that we are going to follow. So we're actually going to start on the 14th king. And there are stories before that, like, just kind of go down the generations.
Okay.
And it's just kind of short stories, at least. Well, no, that's not so. Most people kind of start where we are going to start. For in a sense, we are getting part one of the entire kind of story.
Okay.
And, yeah. So it starts. You all ready?
Yes.
So fucking
enter
ready.
Okay. Part right. One. Mahabharata.
So the Mahabharata starts with a king named Shantanu. Shantanu is a very successful king. He is a descendant himself of Bharata, who is, India today is still called Bharat. So is Shantanu, part of this mythology, a descendant of Bharat. He is the one who kind of is king of the land that is now known as India. Essentially so. Good king, fantastic king, does everything right. He loves to go hunting in the forest. And for him, when he goes hunting in the forest, it's kind of his meditation, it's his prayer. So he doesn't do it with anyone else. Like, that is his time on his own to do his thing. So he goes hunting, not doing particularly well, and keeps going kind of deeper and deeper into the forest. And he gets to the river Ganga, which is also like the river Ganges. So he gets to the river Ganga, and lo and behold, a woman. Who he immediately falls in love with.
Well, of course.
You know.
It's a woman.
She had boobs.
Now,
she did.
I'm assuming. We're assuming.
And a nice ass, I'm assuming, too.
Assumptions.
All.
But
were we correct?
I feel safe.
I would say they flowed nicely.
The ass did?
I'm sorry, her boobs or her ass flowed nicely?
Both.
I'm just going to accept it and move on.
Yeah, I would do that. It might come clearer in a second, or
okay.
It might not.
Oh.
So he meets...
Love it. Interesting.
There is this instant attraction.
Yeah.
As there often is.
As there often is. And he's someone who, you know, he's king. He's had opportunities before and has never been interested.
Quick question. Does he look like a king? Does this...
Oh, he looks good.
Woman or... Not my question.
Oh.
Does this woman or... thing presenting as a woman, because it's a folk story, so I'm assuming that anything could happen at this moment.
Sure.
Does he look like a king? Does she know he's a king? Is he presenting as a king?
He comes up to her.
Has she even noticed him yet?
She's noticed him.
Okay.
She's noticed him, very much so, and he just walks up to her.
Doesn't matter that he's a king.
Oh, to her?
Is that a piece of the story is what I'm asking. Can
that
we
it
see
matters
that
he's
has
a king?
That he has power and authority.
It's hard to answer that question at this moment.
Interesting.
She does.
Then don't answer it. Move
yeah.
On. Maybe it's irrelevant.
I wouldn't say irrelevant, but he comes up to her and just says, I am Shantanu, King, I am King Shantanu. I would want you to, I love you. I want you to be my wife. I want to take you back to Hastinapura, which is in the Sanskrit word, the city of elephants, which is the capital of this kingdom that's going to be there throughout the entire Mahabharata. Marry me.
Okay, hang on.
You don't believe in love at first sight?
I know that that's how these stories work.
Yeah.
But you're telling me not a word has been exchanged.
No need.
No, no. Just a look, just a glance. He happens upon this woman, quote unquote.
You know, I'll
and
say,
they fall in love at first sight. The first thing he says is, come marry me.
I'll say this.
Come be queen.
I have not read the original.
Uh-huh.
And every teller tells it differently.
Yeah.
So as I'm the teller now, I'm going to say, yeah, fuck yeah.
All right. I'm on board. Let's go.
They see each other. Instant attraction.
Glitter,
that
sparkles.
That feels like deep in the soul.
Giant hearts.
And okay. So, and
boing,
she...
Boing, boing.
Okay, now it's not super simple, because it can't be that simple.
I would assume.
She says...
Darn.
I have terms.
I got a thing. Oh, I have germs? Is
terms.
That what
terms.
Oh.
She has crabs. Listen, I just want to be upfront.
Uh-huh.
I have crabs.
Man, there are all these jokes I have in my head that I can't.
Okay,
don't
say terms.
Sense.
Got it. Terms.
Oh, God, crabs
make
sense.
It does.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's adorable.
Let's keep going.
She
Let's hear about the crabs.
Says
we'll get there. Let's not force the crabs. I think no. they're going to come naturally.
We'll force the crabs.
The crabs do not love to be forced.
No, you have to be gentle with them. And coerce the crab.
She has terms.
Sorry.
The first term, which doesn't help the mystery for you guys, is that he cannot ask who she really is.
Yeah, I knew it!
Yeah.
Sorry, that was loud. I knew.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second thing is...
She's like a killer clown or something.
It's common in Indian mythology.
The common killer clown.
With the white face and the red lips. Yeah. And the poofy hair. Yeah, those 100%. Are common in Indian mythology.
Yeah, that came straight out of the Vedas.
Yeah.
Pennywise is like a common character in the story.
It started with... Yeah.
Sorry.
With the German accent? No.
Indians
I'm
also
sorry.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
the appropriation of Indian culture started with Temple of Doom, and it's ended with, like, Pennywise.
Amazing.
Her second term. No matter what I do, you cannot question me. No matter how horrible a thing it seems.
You never say yes to that.
You cannot question me.
You never say yes to that. That's insane.
He says yes.
Oh, God.
Of course he says yes. He has a connection, man.
Does he?
Yeah, he feels a connection with this woman.
It's the vibes.
Is that code for erection?
Yes.
Okay.
Part of it. Sure. Yeah. I mean,
he has the erection, and it's drawing him to her.
Sure. Yep. Yeah.
Like,
I already told her
she's floating through the air.
She's got the flowing breast and ass. There's
she does.
Affection there.
So they're flowing toward one another. I can visualize it. I'm on board. I got you.
Says yes. And they go. They get married. She is a wonderful queen. He is
That's
as happy as he's ever been.
Oh, great.
And then I think it's just like within a year.
Yeah.
She's pregnant.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
So the king is
she
now excited. Yeah. So. She's got a good flow.
Why?
I don't even know what it means.
Leave it.
He doesn't even know.
Leave it on the table, guys. It's fine.
I still argue it'll make sense. Okay. He is excited.
Sorry.
The nation's excited. Like, finally, this motherfucker king has, like, a son coming.
Great.
You know, because he's been putting it off for a while. Like, no one knows why. She's not as excited.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't, you know, really know what's going on, but he figures she's pregnant. Things happening in the body. I'm not going to question it. Whatever.
Well, that's wise.
Yeah. And so, 9 months go by. And... Shanth Agard comes and, like, because she's kind of living in, like, in an apartment area. So they, you know, he's a king, so they live in different areas for whatever reason. He's told that she's given birth to a boy.
Oh. Huzzah!
So Woo! He rushes over.
We love a boy.
Love that tiny penis.
Yeah.
Means they have all, there's so much more knowledge in that tiny penis.
They sure do. That's where it belongs. That's where it lives.
Like yeah. So he rushes over. Mm-hmm. And there are, like, guards outside the room, and he tries to, like, just break in, and they're trying to tell him something, and he just, like, get the fuck out of my way.
Don't go in there.
You should listen.
She's not there.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And so he's like, what's going on? And so, like, they tell him, like, she has taken the baby, taken a carriage, and ordered, like,
I'm guessing
queen.
Gained her true form.
No.
Oh! Okay. Move on.
She takes the baby... And she said that she's gone to the river.
Oh.
Where she was found.
Is this a Medea thing? Just go on. We'll get there.
Like Medea. Like the...
Medea kills her children.
Okay.
Stop spoiling.
I'm thinking of a different
story.
Medea. I'm thinking of Tyler Perry, which probably is the wrong different Medea.
Different Medea.
Okay.
Even spelled differently.
Okay.
It's an ancient Greek myth.
Okay.
She kills her children because her husband is taking a new wife for political reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So to get back at him, she kills her children.
Okay.
Their children.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Tell my husband and I met each other. We were doing that play.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say you were killing children.
And you don't have children, so maybe that's why.
It informed our decision, to be sure.
Indeed.
It's like the foundation.
So she was not like Medea.
I don't know. We haven't got that yet.
Oh, God. Okay, keep telling.
He takes his horse, races there, and sees her with the child over the river and says, like, a mantra, says some words of some kind, and she drops the child into the river, and the child drowns.
Oh!
And he's devastated.
Well, obviously. It's
and, you know, he comes up, and she sees him, and she rushes to him and grabs him before he can say anything, and you remember the vow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You cannot ask. And she just hugs him and embraces him, and he loves her. He really does, like, love her. And
so she did it for a reason.
Is she a mermaid?
He doesn't ask.
The child is still alive and it's swimming around like a little fish, like a little tadpole.
We child don't is know. Dead.
Yeah. Oh! Yeah. It's really dead. It's not coming back as something else. Oh, he's not answering. Okay, go on.
Yeah. You ask all the right wrong questions.
Child is dead.
I'm good at this.
So, he goes back. The wound kind of hurts him, obviously.
Sure.
And she, at the time, is very distraught. But recovering a lot faster than he is from whatever the hell is happening here. Mm-hmm. Pregnant. Second time. He's excited. Like, doesn't know what's going on, but excited. And, yeah. You guessed it. From your look on your faces. Same thing. He gets and he sees and she puts the child into the river. Again. Second child.
Oh my God. You'd think she'd be on watch and they'd lock her down or something.
Right? There'd be some sort of...
He wouldn't allow that. He loves her.
Well,
and she told him...
He did say... They went in with open eyes to this relationship.
Yeah, but he didn't say, I will stand by and watch you kill our children.
But he said he
would not question her.
He wouldn't question her.
That's, well, that was a dumb move on his part.
But he said it.
He vowed it. And if he does,
I
here's the thing.
Yes.
If he does, she's
not,
gone.
But he did.
That's the
say
deal.
That again.
Sorry. If he violates either of the laws...
She's gone.
She's gone.
Yeah, I get it.
She leaves him.
Okay.
So, third child...
Oh my God.
Fourth
no,
child.
No, come on.
Oh my God.
Fifth child, sixth child,
why does
seventh
she
child.
Just let herself get pregnant.
Shantanu is like
she clearly wants
aging.
This.
So
she would be stopping it if she didn't.
Yeah. Say that again?
Shantanu is like aging quickly now
oh,
as well.
Oh, sure.
Dear. Yeah,
because
that's age
all
him.
The. And he is.
Like his life force is going into these children.
His life force of like. And this, like, who is this woman? Is she a demon? Is she. Like, what, like starts doubting now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I am a king after all. Like, it's a lot of power. Mm. Eighth child is pregnant. So, pregnant with the eighth child.
Jesus.
And when it closes now to that moment, Shantanu goes straight to that place in the river. And he sees her coming, and he sees her left the child, and he can't do it. Like, he... gets up, yells, do not kill my child. What the fuck is wrong with you? What is going on? You are killing our children? Are you a like, full of questions.
Sure. What does she do?
She lowers the child, and she's upset as well, and she's kind of teary. And she gives the child to him.
Hmm.
Like, I guess this child means more to you than the two of us. Let me... Now that it's done, let me explain two old stories.
Oh God.
Of who we are.
Oh God. Hello listeners. Our guest today is Rhiannon Fisk-Raddatz. Rhiannon is among many things a musician who goes by Mama Fairy. Her debut album, Anthems for the Apocalypse, is experimental electronic pop music and is available on all platforms.
Let the ocean sing my song, its waters fill my veins, tumbling over ancient bones, it's never twice the same.
Rhiannon is also one half of Songversations, along with Shannon Custer. Songversations amplifies intersectional feminism through song, story, and ritual. They have taken on issues including LGBTQ+ allyship,
the wellness industry, and witchcraft. For those of you living in the Twin Cities metro area, their next show will explore the many facets of women's work, how gender culture and identity show up in the workplace, and this mystical work-life balance for which we're all supposed to be striving. The show, We Have Been Told This Is Good Work, will premiere at Bryant Lake Bowl in Minneapolis on May 9th and 10th. Check out this and all of the other amazing work she does at www.rhiannon.fiskraddatz.com. That's www.rhiannon.fiskraddatz.com. All of these links will be in the episode description. Let's get back to the story.
Shantanu, in an earlier life, was a king named Mabhishek. In the time of this earlier life, when the realms were much closer, kings were able to go into the court of the devs, of basically the spirits, or the gods. Let's say lesser kind of gods. But the kings were able to go into that court. So Mahabhishek, as a king visiting the heavens, sees this goddess, Ganga, who is the goddess of the river. The other gods, the other devs, see this attraction, do not like it. He's very blatant about it, staring at her, very much into her, and she's embracing it as well. Do not like this. This should not happen between the king and the gods. So Indra, king of the gods, curses both of them. Curses Mahabhishek that he will leave. I think he said that was the end of his life. Curses Mahabhishek so that in a future life that he will meet her and she will break his heart. So, that was the Mahabhishek, assumingly dies at that point, or soon after. He's forced to leave the heavens at that point. And we don't know really, we don't hear much about his life after, and then he is the one who comes back, as you guys know now, as Shantanu. Mm-hmm. Ganga, now, is a goddess. So, whether she cannot be... She's not, like, killed instantly. She's still around. But this curse of, Indra, the king of gods, is there. It's happening no matter what in her future. So she goes about trying to figure out, not really knowing what's going to happen. The second story now that also happens is the story of the Veda. No, not the Vedas. The Vashus.
Sure.
Vashus. I hope I had the name right. So, Vasus. So, the second story to tell you is with 8 gods known as the Vasus. With this whole thing of, like, people coming from the world into heavens and openly, especially that the people who are able to do this are the Rishis. The people we kind of talked about who are magicians, immortals. And there's one particular sage whose name is Vasishtha. Vasishtha has a magical cow named Nandini. And spends his time, yeah.
We know a Nandini. That's
adorable. A person, a human.
She's a magical cow. Cute. I gotta call her.
Mm-hmm. We should call her, yeah.
Sorry.
So he has a magical cow and the cow's calf as well. Which I do not know the name of. I don't know if it's particularly named. The Vasus are asked by their wives to capture the cow. And they're like, there's no real... What are we? We're immortals. Like, the whole point of the cow is that the milk that it provides grants immortality to immortals. So, we don't need that. Like, why are you asking us to go get this cow, the 8 of us? Magic number, 8 of us. Mm-hmm. And one particular leader.
Why is 8 a magic number?
Oh, from the evil. Okay, I guess we'll find out.
Oh.
8 was the 8th. It was the 8th child.
Got it.
That and wasn't the 8th king, too?
Oh,
didn't we start with
14th.
The 14th. Oh, 14th king.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
I'm asking because I didn't know if 8 was a magic number in this whole Rani of the whole story.
Mahabharat. Yeah.
8 is not a magic number within that.
Not that I know of.
Is just a magic number in this story because it was the 8th child.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, total tangent there. So Prabhasa, who is kind of he's the one who's like, all right, guys, our wife wants to do it. My wife wants me to do it. The reason that the wives want them to do it is because apparently they have a friend of theirs, or Prabhasa's wife has a friend of theirs who is mortal and wants the cow to grant them that friend immortality. So Bahasa and the seven others are like, fine, gods that they are. Go grab the cow when Vasishtha's doing something else. Mm. Vasishtha comes back and sees that his cow and the calf are gone. And enraged with the magic and the power in him, knows who it was who took the cow. And he curses them.
Oh boy.
He curses them, these arrogant, immortal gods, to be reborn as mortals and suffer. As mortal beings do, for them to come and to, you know.
It's pretty great punishment.
Mm-hmm. They freak out.
Yeah, as you would.
Because one thing about this story is that this is something that happens often, where you have rishi, sages of the earth, having inexplicably more power, or at least power over gods through the practices that they do.
Mm.
So they come begging. They're like, sorry, man. Here's the cow. Here's the calf.
Our wives made us do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our wives made us do it. We're sorry.
Those bitches.
You know. And he's kind of exhausted from this. And
maybe not.
Maybe.
They might have.
Yeah. They were trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
So. Where was that? Yeah. So they're begging him.
Yeah.
And one thing that we've learned kind of from the earlier and like this, the idea of curses and even blessings being something that just can't be taken back. Is something that runs throughout this epic. Once it is done in that passion, with that power, that's not going back in the bottle.
Mm.
He does feel bad for them. He does feel sorry. They've returned his cow and calf. So he promises them that your lives will be brief on Earth. Except Prabhasa, you were the one that instigated this entire thing. You were the one who brought the others. So you will have a long, long life on Earth, full of pain and sorrow.
Mm. Oh, I got it.
So the 8 of them take that, and they go to Ganga, and they ask her, can you be our mother? Can you ensure this? That our lives are going to be short. And so she says yes. And so each of those were the Vasus.
Holy cow.
And she tried with the 8th one.
Yeah.
And was thwarted.
And the 8th one is the one that lives the long.
The 8th one,
mm-hmm.
Prabhasa.
Prabhasa.
Yeah. Once the islands are covered from this drama.
No.
I'll have her say Prabhasa.
Oh my gosh.
What happens to the 8th one?
The 8th one is given
a horrible life
to Shantanu. Not a horrible life.
Okay.
But
I mean,
a long life.
Is the prince king, of male or female, or does it matter?
Is the prince the king?
The 8th child.
Prabhasa is a male, right? Is a
male, yes. They've all been boys.
So, living a pretty good life.
He'll be
a prince?
Right. Be fine. Why are we worried?
I mean, I'm not too worried about... Okay, I don't like those eyebrow raises. Let's go on.
It's going to be a full and long life is the promise.
I mean, I understand when you're a god, you don't want to live a full long life, but
mm-hmm.
if you're going to do it as a prince, that's all right.
That's the way to do it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so... She gives the child to Shantanu, she doesn't give the child, they kind of go back and forth a little. She agrees that she will raise him this eighth child.
Oh, but she doesn't just immediately disappear. That's what I thought it was going to happen.
I thought she was just going to hand him over and leave.
Mm-hmm.
She will raise this eighth child until he is of age.
Okay.
Within her power, within her magic, because she does love this child.
Sure.
She's loved them all.
Sure.
And so she will take him, she will teach him for the first years of his life, till 16, basically.
Okay.
Wow.
And then he will come to the king.
That's
generous of her. Yep. But this relationship between the two of them is now over.
Sure.
Because he broke his word.
No more questioned
her. Yeah,
no. Mm-hmm.
That's closed for business.
She's not flowing anymore.
No. You get it now? You get all the flows with the river goddess stuff?
I guess.
With the flowing ass and tits?
Sure.
Yeah,
yes. Don't say flowing ass and tits. It seems the visual is. It's like you're
different.
On a corner going, girl, you got some flowing ass and tits.
Which.
Actually,
confusing.
Yeah,
it's not a clear.
No, is that a compliment?
I don't.
Is it?
I don't think so.
Because I feel like that means they're flopping all over the place.
With
yeah.
all the context
yeah.
that we didn't have ages ago, in which case it was terrible then.
Yeah.
So
I don't think this is necessarily a philosophical question. No. It's not at all.
When the tape is off, we'll keep
mm-hmm.
talking about flowing tits and ass.
The tape should be on, and that would control the flowing tits and ass.
All right.
Sorry, continue.
Move on.
I was just waiting for you guys to be done.
We're never going to be done.
I don't
want to
like take off.
For years. This
exactly
is going to be
something like the original.
That we come back to. This is going to be a callback for ages.
Flowing
oh, you mean the flowing tits and ass?
Yeah.
So move on.
This is what I want.
Now
when you see like images of like the goddess Ganga, this is what you're going to think of.
Yeah, I absolutely am.
Podcast is counterintuitive to the whole purpose of this.
No, I
oh,
think
well.
It's perfect.
We'll make our own. So, yeah, and then so then they kind of depart, and he continues to be a good king. He continues to do his duty, and people, and he is loved, but he's definitely sad.
Yeah,
he's definitely sad. He's lost the love of his life, like past love of his life, and his kids.
Ugh.
Just and his sadness of
all this hope is in the one child.
All of the one child.
Oh, I hope he does okay.
And his sadness,
thank God.
He is able to channel his sadness into being a good king.
Good, great.
Like, that is his devotion.
That's kind of amazing.
He's unique in that.
He could
mm-hmm.
very easily go
could
dark,
very
dark,
easily
dark,
go,
dark.
But
he
has
dark,
his,
yeah.
you know, he has his wisdom, he has the regiments, he's learned from the Vedas.
Yeah.
He has his chastity. So...
He sure does.
Uh-huh.
Wait, he has it now.
He does now. It's enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he have chastity? He's the king. He could have a harem with no problem.
He doesn't.
Okay.
And this comes back to... So one thing we covered in the first episode is how... Well, when you're not jacking off and when you're keeping your good stuff in you, that stuff is reabsorbed in the body. And there's some science to prove that, and that's part of Ayurveda as well... Well, that's just something that does happen. And so, not now, I haven't met a guy who hasn't done it for 20 years now. I don't think I ever will. But
not in America.
The idea of the story is that in itself grants him, willpower and strength.
I'm gonna skip right past that because I didn't hear the first episode.
I think I
disagree with the big part of that, but
mm-hmm.
I understand why in the mythology why that works.
It's in the mythology, and like
got
one
into
of,
a very interesting conversation.
One of the things about the Mahabharata is that the idea of that with it being connected to the Vedas is that, and this is I'm just saying like how it is meant to be, it is meant to like point to all these other ideas of wisdom.
Okay.
So it is. I think it is a proponent of, like, just that this is a fact of life. At the same time, it's not saying, you know, we need new generations, of course, of people. So it's definitely not asking everyone to be celibate.
Right.
Uh-uh. Don't
right.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, 16 years pass. And then Shantanu continues to do his hunting, although he's even, like, stopped hunting. It's called hunting in the texts, but then he's not actually even hunting. He's not killing any more animals at all. So he's just kind of going and being in the woods himself and committing to the practices, but not to the final kill. It's part of his mourning.
Mm-hmm.
16 years, he goes back to Ganga and the river. And it's blocked by a fucking shit ton of owls.
The river?
The river is blocked.
By what?
A shit ton of arrows.
Arrows? How?
Someone fired.
Paint the picture for me.
Okay. Billions of owls have been shot into the Ganga.
Uh-huh. So there's a dam of arrows?
There's a dam of aloes.
Holy that is on the riverside or that is holding the flow of
holding
the water
the river?
Back?
Holding the river back.
It's a dam.
That's a lot of arrows.
That's a lot
of arrows.
That's
shot from the
billions
sky?
Billions of arrows.
He
can
just
you
sees
imagine
this.
How they need to be wedged together
yeah.
to stop water from coming
holy
through?
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's like an
oh, yeah.
ages-long war or one big fucking battle.
Mm-hmm.
Or one god going,
good point.
And just vomiting arrows.
Good point. Which was it?
Arrowed. What? Sorry.
It is his son. So he sees these owls
do
blocking
tell.
The river, and it bursts open. The water flow does kind of finally,
wait,
like, pushes
because
them
he
all.
Looks at it?
Just while he's there?
No,
just
the timing
like,
of things.
Oh, he just timed it perfectly.
Yeah.
He
well,
just
perhaps
happened
he was
to be there
yeah.
when it...
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe he was like, because it must be an amazing sight to see. Maybe he sat there for half an hour. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Or a day.
But
who
at
knows?
Some point, the water winds out, and the owls come down the river, and there's this kid just sliding on it.
He's like riding the arrows?
He's like riding these owls
fuck
coming
yeah,
down.
Like he's surfing the arrows
mm-hmm.
down the
yep.
Ganges River?
Yep.
Hops. That's amazing.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's a good visual.
That's an amazing visual.
He hops onto land and like runs
to be
past Shantanu
uh-huh.
to... Ganga, who is there. And
she's
he turns around and
arrived.
There she is.
Wait, why?
She's there.
Why?
Yeah.
Because the time has now come to pass on this boy to Shantanu to raise.
He's 16 now.
He's 16 now.
And he's really cool. He's a surfer dude.
Mm-hmm.
And all the girls dig him.
All the girls do dig him.
Is he kind of a little blonde? He's just a little blonde. He's just got some tips. He's got some...
That feels... Azure, that is very Western. He is not blonde.
I think he's got some tips.
He does not have tips. That is so lame. That is so 1980s.
But can you picture
surfer.
It?
I can. Of course I can. I've seen Point Break. I'm just saying
and
he's no.
Like,
okay.
Mm, whatever the
right.
whatever you say when you're
mm-hmm.
you do your fingers like the thing that I'm
hang
doing.
Hang 10, dude.
Hang 10,
yeah.
dude. Sorry, I couldn't think of it. I'm not a surfer.
So
I would be terrible at surfing. Mike,
you don't have all the. Antiquated sayings?
I don't have the sayings. That's
mm-hmm.
the only reason I'd be bad at surfing.
Just because you don't have to let
yeah.
go?
Correct.
I'll teach it to
mm-hmm.
you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Then I will be able
I'm
to
from
surf.
Wisconsin. I know it all.
So, young Patrick Swayze. I mean, sorry. this young boy.
I'm not saying he
mother
was
and son.
White. I'm just saying he had white tips.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it later. Sure.
Sorry. I'm going to draw this guy surfing. I'm excited about
Can't
it.
Can't wait.
So... She tells Shantanu, here's your son. His name is Devavrata.
Oh.
Yeah, Devavrata. And I have had him taught by the very best of the best. I've had him taught by the sage Vasishtha, who was the immortal sage who cursed him to live this new life. So it's interesting to me that he teaches him the Vedas. He teaches him the holy books. She has also taught him politics. Sorry, yeah, question.
I think I missed the part, and now I understand that it's gone.
Great.
Now I understand that he's been taken away, and I'm assuming it happened at that first moment when she held him, and the king said, who's that? And the whole thing happened. But I think I missed the part when he was taken away until he was 16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she decides to...
Did we say that?
Yes. We
okay.
did have...
I will
have...
say it now. She will raise him.
Recap it for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that moment of
At that
this.
Moment when she tells him the stories of their
yep.
past lives.
Yep.
They,
she says, I'm going to take him away for a minute.
I will raise him for the first 16 years of his life.
Got it.
And then hand him to you.
Okay, now the entrance makes sense. Move on. Thank you.
For the 16 years...
he surfs in.
I got it. I got the image is
yeah.
fantastic.
So
little Keanu Reeves. Got it.
Little Keanu Reeves. Yeah, dark hair. closer? A little closer?
Or Patrick Swayze, whichever one you want. Keanu is probably... Never mind, just move on.
So
I can't.
But he's so cute, he's all 16 years old. Sorry.
So he's been taught by Vasishtha, who is the Veda, who is the, yes, you know, again, the sage who cursed him as a god ages ago. And then by Brihaspati, who is another god who teaches him politics. And then the big one that she... The big one is that she begged Parasurama, a warrior god, to teach him the art of war, martial arts, archery.
Cool.
That's like a big deal. For one thing,
he's a,
like,
badass.
Yeah, Parasurama to me is like one of the biggest guys.
Parasurama.
Yeah. One thing to know about Parasurama, which will kind of come back in this epic, is that in his story, there's a caste known as the Kshatriyas, who is the warrior caste. They're kind of like the warrior king caste. Their responsibility is, you know, to be good kings and guardians. There was a point in time when they were not, when they were tyrants. And so Parashuram slaughtered the fuckers. And he does not like Kshatriyas. He does not like warriors. He will not teach his arts to those people, to anyone in that line. He really actually doesn't teach anyone after that, especially after killing them. And, but because it's the river goddess Ganga, he agrees.
I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Aside from being a podcaster, I am also a mythic fantasy writer. My latest novella is Legacy of the Crow. It is the first in a 5-part globe-spanning adventure. In Legacy of the Crow, Kalisha Jael is a crow sorceress who was once the god of crows. She has given up her godhood to enter and destroy a totalitarian nation from within. In order to succeed, Kalisha must use her magic, her wits, her crow allies, and a damning level of secrecy, while also protecting her sanity from the horrific evils around her. This book explores the Kilak people of the world of Adajari, people whose magic comes from their bond with animals. This book is appropriate for young adults, but does include some animal cruelty and mature content. You can find out more about Legacy of the Crow from my website, sbjayaraj.com. That is sbjayaraj.com. You can order it from your favorite bookstore or find a digital version of it on all the major ebook platforms. Go get your copy now.
And then they depart ways, and that's it. He will never see her again. He has a son to raise now.
Yeah, he's got shit to do.
He does, and but at the same time, like, all of this tragedy that he has gone through. Mm-hmm. Think about all the crap that he has gone through, and the teachings that this boy has gotten from actual gods, okay, from warriors, from warrior gods.
It's a little intimidating. He might be a little intimidated by his son.
The relationship they form, Shantanu continues to be a good king.
Okay.
But Devavrata is still the more mature one.
Makes sense.
And people are excited, in a sense, for that one time when Devavrata will become the next king. They love Shantanu. Mm-hmm. They love what he's done, but if they get this guy to be...
But he's only had one lifetime, right? The king? Whereas Shantanu?
No, Shantanu was Mahabhishek before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So never mind. I completely forgot about Mahabhishek.
Mahabhishek.
Say it again.
Mahabhishek.
We've been drinking whiskey.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mahabhishek.
You're alone in that. Mahabhishek.
And so
Mahabhishek.
I didn't mean to throw you under the bus. You're
Mahabhishek?
Not Mahabhishek.
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 Okay, we can do it. It's fine. I'm excellent at pronouncing.
Mahabhishek.
There is now a king. There's finally a lineage that's going to happen. The king
Sperm.
Is happier again.
Sorry. Well, that's how the lineage continues.
Yeah.
Love it.
You need the sperm.
Love it.
I mean...
The king is happier again. He goes... And he continues to do his hunting things. And at some point, just like, decides to go to a different river. He's going to go to the Yamuna River on one day. So he goes to the Yamuna River... And smells something powerful and fragrant, and it's getting him going. And there's a beautiful...
In what way?
In an erotic way.
Okay, keep talking.
There is another woman
for fuck's
by the river, a different river,
Does she have flowing tits and ass?
Yeah. Well, scaly?
What? Oh!
No.
Is she a mermaid or is she just a dragon?
She actually is. Yes, to both questions.
She's a dragon and a mermaid?
And a water nymph?
Well, I heard mermaid and water nymph.
I said water
nymph. Oh, she's
something else.
Oh, well, those make way more sense.
So she was.
I love a water dragon, though. Love a water dragon. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
We covered this last time because, and it's interesting that she comes back. She was a water nymph, she was a water nymph, cursed to be a fish. No, that was her mother. Okay, a water nymph was cursed to be a fish.
Yes.
Then the fish ate sperm. King sperm.
Don't love that. Don't know why that happened.
That's from episode one.
And then
okay.
Became pregnant.
Well, I still don't love it, but that doesn't seem consensual.
No, well, yeah, you gotta listen to it. It's a lot to cover right now.
I'm gonna move past it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
So, fish becomes pregnant. Fish is caught. Fish is, well, killed. And then the spirit, the water spirit that it was, goes into the heavens. There are two kids there. She is that second one grown up and given to the Fisher King.
Okay.
She originally smelled like fish for her entire life.
Sure. Like you do.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's kind of what, you know, that's what she was born in.
Fish spirit, you smell like fish.
And then she was...
logical.
Yeah, but she was blessed by a sage to not have that smell anymore and to be more fragrant. So that...
To smell better.
That is... Okay.
Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
We...
That
went
is,
deep on this.
That's like the magical thing that she was given. You just don't smell anymore.
You don't smell like a fish.
No. She smells beautiful now.
No, great.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
I'm really happy that it's,
yeah.
that it's not
her
just
pheromones
like,
are
you have zero smell.
Mm-hmm.
She went from fishy smell to like, you smell like rose water. That's great. Okay.
No, her,
I recognize it doesn't, it's not rose water. I'm just making a like...
To me, it means
flowery, but also has somehow that underlying fish element smell to it.
Well, that's not
terrible.
Great. Then why?
But it was a wizard who did it, so he knew what he was doing. Somehow,
he
made
it
super
doing.
Attractive.
I was going to say that I thought. To me, it feels like it just meant that they made it her so her pheromones were appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, there's definitely.
But if it's just
analogically
rose,
speaking,
if
that's
just
a
flowers
word.
And fish. That sounds terrible.
That's gross. But
that's
if
like
it's
a
about
bad
pheromones,
restaurant.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like if it's about like you smell like fish and
pheromones.
Now it's about there's fish and flowers in this concoction, it's because we're trying to draw your lover in and you that's what he likes.
That's what I
that
think.
That makes
it
sense
is.
To
that
me.
That makes more
right.
sense.
That's
right.
what we're going with.
Great. Thank you.
Not a bad like sushi restaurant.
Not a bad sushi restaurant.
Alright, now I understand
fantastic
the fine
restaurant.
Line we've drawn.
I love it.
So
let's
he, as he has before, apparently has a thing for water goddesses or water nymphs.
He does
some
seem
sort.
To have that
he
thing.
He does.
Who doesn't?
He falls
well,
for her.
They have flowing tits and ass, so
oh
how would you
God.
Not?
Yeah.
I can't even get over. I love him so much.
He falls for her.
Sorry.
So needs to get permission or like here from the father, the Fisher King.
What?
And the Fisher King.
That's a whole reference I don't think he gets, so I'm just going to move on. Don't,
nope,
no, move,
I've heard
move,
of it. Okay.
Move.
The Fisher King says, has terms, and he's like, she can go with you on the condition that the kids you have with her become king. She can be the queen, like she can go with him to the palace,
mm-hmm.
but any kids they have, like the kids that they have,
yeah.
that's the bloodline that's going to follow for the king.
I mean, that would happen regardless, right?
Devavrata is there.
Oh shit!
So it has to be skipped over?
That's what he
no.
is asking.
Cool. No, he's so
not
cool though.
Cool.
Everybody loves Devavrata.
Nope,
he's
not
like
on
the
board.
Cool kid.
I
he's
don't
got
like
the
that.
Tips.
Nope.
And he serves.
It's
and
Keanu.
And
Keanu can't be skipped over.
No, he's so popular. Everybody
so popular.
Loves him.
Okay, what happens to him?
I don't like it.
The king
no.
Shantanu can't do it.
Great. He shouldn't.
He can't do it.
That's not the right thing to do.
He says, I I can't do that to this to my son. Like, and especially with all the gifts that he has. And my previous wife,
she's gonna be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
She's a goddess, so.
Yeah. So he leaves.
Great.
He leaves, goes back, and the dude's miserable. He feels.
Which dude?
Shantanu.
Okay, Shantanu.
Miserable.
Yeah.
And Devavrata, his son, picks up on this.
Sure.
As one might.
You know, like, tries to be there with him, encourage him to talk. Yeah. And doesn't know what's going on. Like, doesn't know why. No one knows what really happened. And so Devavrata ends up doing some investigations. Realizes, like, when this shift happened. Goes to talk to the charioteer who kind of brought him to the Yamuna River and gets information from him to know where he went. So Devavrata goes there, goes to, and he finds the Fisher King and the daughter. And the charioteer told him what he knows, that he was asked to be, that, yeah, your father asked for this woman to be his wife, and the father refused for some reason.
Okay.
So Devavrata storms in to this little hut, sees the king of the fishermen. What the fuck is going on? Like, he's a king. Like, why would you refuse, of all people, like my father?
Oh, he's got his dad's back. He's his dad's wingman.
Very,
that's very
nice. Very sweet.
So it's the king kind of takes his time, and he's like, I didn't refuse. Let me tell you some things about my daughter. And he doesn't tell them about the whole bone of a fish thing. But he does tell them of the time when she was blessed. When, like, her smell changed and she became blessed. Like, she is meant to have a lineage.
It's called puberty.
Right?
By the way.
Let's just name it.
I feel like they're just talking about puberty.
To humans.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking confusing right now.
I know. So
if you just say, hey, that was when puberty happened, that makes a lot of sense.
It just kind of hit me. That just seems like...
Got it. When you stop smelling like fish. I mean, that is... You start actually smelling like fish during puberty is more accurate.
Oh, dear.
But I got you. To your point, I get it. Got it. Move on.
But, okay, sorry.
What was that? Yeah, so he tells her. He tells them that... And I believe that, like, he has also heard from a sage that of the destiny his daughter will hold to be father of kings. He actually also doesn't know, mother of, like, yeah, she will have the lineage. And he actually doesn't know about, like, her previous child.
Okay.
At all. That was kind of, yeah. So he's heard from a sage that this must happen, so he has to hold out. And this is, if she's going to marry a king, the prophecies that he's heard have said this much. I can't let her go to be queen unless this is guaranteed. And so Devavrata renounces his lineage.
What?
And he says, okay, for his father, I am fine with this. Like, you're her kids with my father, they will have the lineage.
Huh.
And the king is surprised, actually. Like,
sure.
This is a big... He realizes this is a big thing to give up. And he's, you know, but he's also saying that... I mean, that's great that it'll come from you. But what happens down the line? What happens down the line when you have kids and they will challenge that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Devavrata says, let me take her. And I will guarantee it.
Huh.
So they go back. Actually, no. Before they go back...
Wait, who's he taking?
Satyavati. So the daughter. To be his father's bride.
I see. I thought he was taking her for a bride for some reason for a second. And I was like, that's a real dick move.
I don't like it.
It would be a dick move.
I
don't think he would do it.
No.
He
loves his father.
The kingship.
Oh, God, he loves his father.
He has not just given up the kingship.
He didn't even know his father for 16 years.
I'm sorry.
But he hasn't?
I'm sorry, hang on.
What?
He is not just giving up the kingship.
Tell us why.
So then he's holding something closer to his vest than we know.
He steps out. He had to guarantee that this wouldn't happen. Like, he had to guarantee that no kids would challenge. So he steps out of the hut and promises vows to the gods.
Uh-oh. Shit.
He will not have children. He will not take a wife. Ever. in his entire life, he vows to the entire universe.
Okay.
He will not have children.
But his father still can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So now there's no way he's like, so as long as he's like, we believed his vow. We believe that he would never take the lineage.
Right.
But especially now, he's never going to have children.
Okay.
So he will never have the lineage. There's no one like, you know, the argument that, oh, your kids could argue, like, well, if he doesn't have kids. So he has vowed to not take children, to not have children, ever in his life. So that lineage will never be challenged by offspring.
The king isn't going to have children?
No.
Or his son isn't going to have... But if the king has children...
Yeah. Then it'll be with the new wife.
Right.
But and they will usurp what's-his-name's ability to be king. But he has just given that up. So all he's saying is, I won't have any wife or children to further challenge
the monarchy. I was like, this seems moot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is, because he can only guarantee his own heart.
Yeah.
Right.
So what he's saying is, and I will not have a wife or children so that nobody else will attempt can challenge the monarchy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're on the same page.
Okay. That makes total sense now.
Got it.
It's a powerful vow.
Same. Absolutely.
Powerful vow.
Man.
So he takes the wife.
He's so good.
Is he? We'll see.
I think he is.
I don't trust anybody.
I think he's good.
I hope he is.
He means the vow. He absolutely 100% means this vow.
Okay.
You say that now.
He's so Keanu.
He takes her back and.
Bro.
To his father, and his father's like, what's happening? Like, and sees her excited and like why? Like, and then like just kind of gets the full story and realizes what his son has given up. Yeah, essentially giving up happiness.
Yeah.
He, in this moment with this power of this and 20 years of celibacy as well for the king, he casts his own blessing on his son for this magnificent sacrifice, saying that you will only die when you are ready to do so.
Mm.
And at this point...
Is that a blessing? Maybe. Okay.
Do you remember the curse that was on him?
Yeah, he wanted to live as little as possible. So that means he dropped dead immediately when his father made that blessing. Because his life was originally supposed to be as short as possible.
No, but that was the first seven. One, which was supposed
because
to live
he was the one that instigated
a long, painful life. Like, extremely long. The eighth one was supposed to. Yeah.
And so now that's coming to pass because he has been told by his king, by his father. And keep in mind that the gods, very few gods, there's only like one example, they don't know their previous lives. So they don't know like this curse that they're on to live a long, extensive life in this case. But, you know, but in the context of what's happening here, like he's ready to die, but he will not die before then. And then... He's renamed Bhishma. And this is the name he carries throughout the Mahabharata.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is he renamed Bhishma?
I do not remember what it means. But it's Sanskrit stuff.
That wasn't the question.
Oh.
Why is he renamed?
Yeah, why can't he still use his old name?
It's because the new name...
Is it just like a representation of... This is his new
life. The names mean something. And so, like, the show, somehow within the Sanskrit name of his meaning, like, it carries the goodness and the grace that he has done.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
Never to sex again.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And Satyavati, keep in mind, is, like, she's grew up in the forest, in the woods.
She's simple the fish life. Girl, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the new wife and father, sorry, father, mother to the two kids that have been born.
Mm-hmm.
Who, and the way it just kind of works out with all the Shantanu and the wife, Satyavati, they spend a lot of time together. Raising the kids actually just ends up falling joyfully for everyone on Bhishma. So Bhishma ends up raising his half-brothers.
Mm. Okay. That's and kind of sweet.
Shantanu at some, you know, Shantanu lives good old life, calm, and passes on from the world. And now, for the next chapter, we're waiting to see when these new kids will go, when these kids will grow up and they will assume the throne.
Mm. Okay. Nice.
So I'll stop there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah. That was a lot
to take in.
That was such a great story, though. Like, the eighth. Oh.
The two curses, right?
Two curses.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what. Okay.
Listen, Rhiannon's just processing her thoughts.
Yep, there's no sound. You're not missing anything. I'm just trying to figure out what to say next. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you mentioned Nordic mythology in the beginning, and I remember first learning about Nordic mythology and be like, why do all the gods' names sound the same?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Freya, Freyr, Freyrja. I think I just made up the third one, but I wanted to make the point that mm-hmm. they start to sound the same. And I'll 1,000% admit that part of it is just I'm unfamiliar with the language, so
mm-hmm.
the names start to blend together because the syllables are sounding the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, names weren't very helpful to me.
Yeah.
The
names are the one thing I'm, like, writing down, and it's, like, what I'm enjoying from doing it this time in this way, I'm actually learning the names. So in some ways, the names are for me.
I agree.
Because I want to be able to know the names
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've read this many times
mm-hmm.
now, and I can guarantee you that all these names that I've mentioned for this and previous episodes, I didn't know whenever I went back into it. Like, these aren't the people. Bhishma stays with me.
Bhishma.
Mm-hmm.
Bhishma will...
Two syllables you can manage.
Throughout the Mahabharata.
Also, Bhishma. Such a good dude.
It's just a good,
mm-hmm.
name.
And he is there. He is going to be there throughout the Mahabharata.
So he decides to live. He decides to live. This is what you're spoiling right now.
You like it? What's on our mind?
I did like it. I'm trying to contextualize it with other mythological stories that I know, and there doesn't. I don't. I can't think
so
of one that it really compares.
That's why.
So that I can.
Why, it's interesting, right?
Into my imagination.
I've always been of the whole monomyth idea. Like, when I got into mythology with Nordic mythology and Greek
well,
and Roman,
like,
are kind of the
Campbell
same.
Joseph Campbell made me obsessed.
Yes.
With, you know,
and you
myths
can,
all over the world have
sure.
similarities.
And you can see those similarities quite... Like, I can see them a little clearly between, let's say, Nordic and Greek.
For
you know?
Sure.
Like, Zeus,
that's
Odin.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one-eyed
course.
God.
That's of course.
Yeah.
So there are similarities, but... I do struggle to find that when the Mahabharata and other mythologies...
Oh, it's so many more gods.
And the relationships between them. And then the whole reincarnation thing changes everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that in Nordic mythology.
Okay.
It's the whole cyclical thing. The Nine World Ragnarok happens
mm-hmm.
in a cycle.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, they don't think about it as the
but you don't have,
individuals being reincarnated.
Yeah.
But they are, in effect.
In effect,
the
they
the world just keeps recycling the same stories.
And
the god, well, gods and humans
yeah.
are constantly trying to break out of it, but they
sure.
can't stop the cycle.
So
it's not an individual
is,
death. It's the whole world ends
yeah.
and then everybody restarts anew.
And that's like an interesting thing is to read like the different philosophies of how like Indian mythology definitely does work differently with the idea that they're almost like the acceptance of the cyclical nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read like one mythologist, my favorite, Devdutt Patanaik, who is one of my favorite mythologists.
Say that again.
Devdutt Patanaik, Pattanaik.
Cool.
But his, like, he did kind of talks about how just there are just some stark differences in some of these within Indian mythology that is still kind of practiced today. One thing about Indian mythology and Hinduism is that to acknowledge is that this is an evolving religion.
Mm.
It's still changing. It always has been changing. There were times when you had like people who followed Vishnu and people who followed Shiva and they were rivals.
Mm.
There were times when there were no, like, higher up gods like Shiva, Vishnu, and Brahma. Well, and the Mahabharata kind of starts before this, in the sense that all these gods that we're mentioning, they're not, you know, the all-powerful being gods.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like some of the theories that these concepts came later, but then these gods did come into the story of the Mahabharata over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then as that happened, there was these ideas of such and such is the reincarnation of such and such.
Mm-hmm.
But you have like Vishnu, who has 8 avatars, known avatars. Before the Mahabharata, there's a story called the Ramayana. Vishnu is a main character as a prince in that story. And then passes, and now he is a forthcoming character in the Mahabharata as well.
Hmm.
So that makes it... So with all the timelines, with all the history, with the way it changes and like different cultures have also adapted and changed the story...
Sure.
It's fucking big.
Yeah.
And there's definitely no one way to tell this. As there shouldn't be. But... Yeah.
There we go.
Cool.
So, with that in mind,
Thank you for joining us.
I love these looks on your faces. Like, I feel like you really got it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was
so
wonderful.
With that, that concludes our today's episode. And have an imaginative day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Not Your Mother's Mahabharata. Please like and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss our next episode. My name is Satish Jaraj, and I am your storyteller and researcher. My wife and co-host is Azure Anderson. Azure also wrote the theme music, she did all the editing and producing, and essentially did all the work to get this podcast to you. Without her, it would just be me swearing ancient stories to friends in our living room. Join us next time for the next installment of Not Your Mother's Mahabharata, and have an imaginative day.